Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the NWAC South Fast Break Show. We do this show every Monday night at 9:30 p.m. Pacific Time, where we talk to four great coaches, four great human beings who are shaping the lives of young men and women way beyond the basketball floor. But tonight we're only going to have three, as Coach Jovka is taking the night off of much needed. You know, I'm kind of like Popovich. You know, I can give these guys a night off, you know, occasionally. And, you know, I tell them to take a rest, and I control everything. So I told Jovka to take a rest tonight, so he won't be with us. So the other people got to work much, much harder. But anyway, don't forget, if you're in the Portland metro area, or if you're beyond the Portland metro area, Southwest Washington, the world famous Noho's Sports Lunch is this Wednesday, April 13th, 46th in Northeast Fremont in Portland. Everyone is welcome. It's a great event, and if you haven't been there, you need to start showing up, because it is a terrific. We do it every quarter. But we do this show every Monday night at 9:30, and we always lead off with Trevor Opp, the outstanding head basketball coach of the men's team in Southwestern Oregon Community College. Good evening, Trevor.
Hey, Greg, good evening. How are things going?
Pretty good. You know, I know that you had a nice day yesterday at Brant Miner's great showcase that he put on at Forest Grove High School. And you had to drive, 6 hours driving home. Chofka's got an hour and a half in that red Ferrari that he has, and he can't be on tonight.
Well, I didn't quite have 6 hours of a drive, but almost. But, you know, it was a long day of basketball, but it was a fast day of basketball, too. It was a really good event. Anytime you can get in a gym with close to 100 of the top players in Oregon and Washington, and there was even a couple from California, and we got to coach some games and got to talk to some in a classroom setting and got to watch games. And so it was a fun day, and Brant and everybody there at Max Hoops does a great job. And I'm just thankful that I keep getting invited to those events, and had a lot of fun up there yesterday, and really enjoyed myself, just enjoyed being in the gym with a bunch of young players, really eager to learn and work and take coaching. And so it was a fun day.
Very good. And, you know, one other thing quickly before we get into a little more basketball, Trevor, I know Joe Hash is a good friend of yours. He's a big supporter of this program. And we want to give a big shout-out to him tonight, because he supports every program we do when it comes to small college and NWAC basketball, and it's greatly appreciated.
No doubt. Joe's been a great supporter, and, you know, he spent a few years in the NWAC at Clark College, and I think he still follows the basketball up here and everything, and he's just kind of a junkie that way, and so that's pretty cool.
Trevor, Gary Player once said, the fabulous golfer still going strong. He bombed his first, he had the ceremonial tee shot at the Masters, and he hit it 286, believe it or not. And that's incredible. But he's famous for the comment, "I don't win golf tournaments on the course, I win it on the practice range." I guess it kind of applies a little bit to all the work that, you know, athletes and your athletes got to put in the off season to succeed in the season.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked about that a little bit yesterday at the event with the high school players, but now's their time. Now is basketball players' time to honestly, to be a little selfish and worry about themselves and worry about getting better. Cause from September on, it's all about the team and team offense and team defense and working on things like that. And it's the team, where in the spring, this is just such a great time for guys to work on their skills, work on their strength, you know, get better at things, maybe work on an offhand, whatever they need to work on. But it's just a chance where they can just put in the time and see improvement. I mean, We just had a great weightlifting session today. I was just so happy and so impressed with our guys. I mean, they really came in there and lifted hard. And, you know, we can't lift that hard during the season with so many practices and so many games. But in the spring, you know, we can lift a little bit harder, and hopefully the guys will see some improvement strength-wise and, you know, working on their game also.
And, you know, Trevor, compared to about even, say, 15 years ago, there's no excuse nowadays to not improving yourself as a basketball player because there's so much more available to you.
Yeah, I think you're right. There's more gym time. There's more coaching available. There's more resources that they can read and study online. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it comes down to them putting in the time and them making that commitment and them being dedicated and putting in the work. And, you know, that's something that there's a lot of motivated young people out there nowadays. I see a lot of guys very motivated, you know, in the classroom and on the court and wanting to get better. And those are guys you want to be around. That's fun to be around guys like that.
Trevor, I always asked you guys this question in April, so here it comes tonight. I think it's a good question. You guys have great answers. What's maybe one thing you're going to do this summer that's going to make you a better basketball coach? And it certainly is safe to say relax, because I think when people are relaxed, they do better.
Well, there's definitely time for that. But kind of the same thing that you were just talking about, how we want our players to get better in the spring and summer, and we want them to put in work and we want them to improve, and there's all these resources for them. Well, the same goes for us coaches too. And you bet I'm going to take some time to relax and hang out and enjoy myself. But there's also a time to read and just study up for lack of a better term, just kind of study the game and do things that way. And so, you know, I'll probably do a lot of reading and I'll be going to a clinic. I'm sure I'm headed down to Coaching You Live in Vegas in July. So those are some of the things that I'll do to try to improve myself as a coach also, because we want to do that. If we're going to have our players do it, we need to step up and do it ourselves.
Very good, very good. And part of this improvement, factor involves technology. There's a lot of technology available. I mean, instantaneously, you can almost get a game film. It's amazing. And, of course, we take advantage of it, as we should technology, but it's amazing how technology has helped sports in general.
Oh, it's just night and day compared to the old days. Now we can, I think I've only gotten one game film in the mail this year from a high school player. All the other ones are sent with links or even in the email, there's a video attached. But a lot of times it's a link to Crossover, who's a company that does Basketball Breakdown or Huddle or there's a couple others, or sometimes even YouTube. But just video alone is such a big change there. That technology and just being able to share that. And same goes with us sharing film with our sophomores, with four-year coaches, just being able to say, boom, send it in an email. Here's two game films right there. That's something that we haven't been able to do in the past, and that's definitely helped with recruiting and finding players and helping players move on. So it worked both ways.
Trevor, there's something, you know, is there something missing from that you'd like to see improved by the general populace of basketball players? You watched a lot of young people yesterday. And I know they did a great job, and this is not a negative thing, but what was maybe some of the deficiencies, or one deficiency that quite a few people need to work on?
Boy, just footwork in general, and the we have such good athletes now, and the game is played a lot faster. I know we try to play fast, but there's a lot of other people that do too. And when you do that, footwork, both offensively and defensively, becomes even more important. And it's something that I think, you know, is probably under-taught at the younger levels. And you know, that's one thing that that I would probably say that we could, as coaches in the basketball field in general, could probably help improve on is just the footwork of our athletes.
And, you know, talking about all this, a huge part of the game, it's always going to be is officiating. And there's so many tools available to officials nowadays with camps and the video and breakdown and individual instructors that really know what they're doing. They need to improve too.
Yeah, and just like you were saying, the resources are there for them too. There's so many more things available, and people are willing to work with them, and whether it be camp, whether it be video breakdown, whether it be mentoring and things like that with young officials. You know, we get into coaching because we love basketball and want to stay involved in the game, and some people choose to get into officiating, and we probably need a few more people to do that and go down that route. And for the same reasons, love the game, want to stay connected, whatever it happens to be. And, you know, the ones that do that and really work at it, you know, you can see that, and that's pretty impressive.
Very good job getting us started for usual, Trevor. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
Sounds great. Thanks a lot for having me, and appreciate the show and everything you do, and really enjoyed it.
You betcha. That's Trevor Hopp, the Southwestern Oregon Community College men's basketball coach. Does a great job down there in Coos Bay, Oregon. Now let's swing over to the heart of Portland, Oregon, and let's talk to Tony Broaddus. We're going to go a little out of order tonight, or Tony, because Bruce isn't with us, so coming to you a little bit early. How you doing tonight, Tony? The head men's coach at Portland Community. Good. Have you started softball yet, Tony?
Yes. We started practicing. No games yet, but we started practicing. I'm looking to have a big time year.
If we could get you, Tony, to speak a little closer into the phone, that would be great. Having a little trouble hearing you. Do you encourage your athletes to kind of participate recreationally in other sports as well, Tony? Is that a good idea?
Yeah, I hope you can hear me better now, Greg. But, yeah, I encourage my guys to play other sports. You know, especially in high school, I was a real big proponent for guys playing three sports, whether it be track or football or baseball or soccer, whatever it might be. But now it's a little tougher because when at the college level, you know, any other sport that they're going to play is not going to be sanctioned with, you know, trainers and stuff like that for the most part, you know, especially at Portland Community College. But I still encourage them to get out and do all kinds of things. Volleyball is a great sport to play. Badminton, I mean, it's a lot of fun stuff that guys can get into and stay active.
Yeah, very, very good. Absolutely. Tony, I mentioned, and I'm not sure if you were listening, I talked about Gary Player. You know, bombing the ball at 80 years of age. He hit the ceremonial tee shot at the Masters, 282 yards, which is phenomenal. And Gary Player's famous for the comment about he didn't win golf tournaments on the course. He won them on the practice range. And I think that's a real strong comment about what basketball players can do. They're going to win games by how hard they work in the off season.
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. It's you've got to put the time in when not everyone's around watching, when the crowd's not there, when the coach is not making you do this, the guys that put that time in on their own, it pays off. There's no doubt about it, and that goes for all sports. You know, I feel like when you said golf, that doesn't surprise me. Any of the sports, the time you put in is will directly – affect what you get out of it.
Tony, mentally, we just watched the Masters too, and mentally there was some breakdowns there by a lot of people. You know, I think sometimes we just don't talk about enough about the mental side of sports, because athletes today are so finely tuned. Physically, they do just fine, but you got to tune your brain occasionally too.
You do. You really do. And there's a lot to be said about the power of confidence, confident thinking, as opposed to thinking what might happen. I can tell you a quick story. When I was going to Lane Community College back years ago, the coach showed us the statistics, league statistics, with about three games left. And I noticed that I was leading the NWAC in free throw shooting. I was like, are you kidding? Wow, I never knew that. You know, this was before the age of websites and all that. So I go and I start thinking before the next thing. I said, wow, what if I miss a bunch of free throws and lose this lead? Well, of course, by thinking those dumb thoughts, I go in there and miss a bunch of free throws. So you got to, you know, you learned a valuable lesson, man. You got it. It's about positive thinking. You don't think of negative possibilities because you can make those come into reality.
Yeah, very, very good story. And you know that I really follow golf closely, but I think golf and basketball have a lot of parallels. The visualization is so important too.
No doubt. Seeing things that are going to happen that you want to happen, seeing them happen before they do, and thinking positive. And golf, I'd say, is even more so probably than any other sport, because it's so such fine movements that have to be made, and that ball is just one millimeter this way misses the cup. You know, basketball, you can overthink it, but you can also get out there and just work real hard and dive on the ground and make something happen. You know, even though you might have been panicking, you can still work your way out of it. If you start panicking in the golf game, as we've seen with Jordan Spieth the other day, it's a tough road to recover from.
The game, and even he had the big meltdown, as anybody can happen. I guess it's how he takes that and recovers. Tony, what's maybe something that you're going to do this summer, and I hope you're going to be able to relax, because I know how much work you put in coaching all the time and your job as well. But what's maybe one thing that you thought of that you're going to do about that's going to make you a better basketball coach?
Well, you know, I'm going to continue to learn. I'm going to continue to go to camps, clinics, study, watch games, replay videos. You know, I still got some old Jim Boeheim and 2-3 zone VHS tapes that I might go back through. You know, just basketball is a game you can never maximize your knowledge. You just got to keep going for it. And, you know, I'm a learner, student of the game, so I'll continue to do everything I can to get better, and including doing some self-reflection on this year, on some of the things I messed up on.
And a final question for you, Tony, talking about that. I just learned today from an NBA executive that Portland scores more on inbounds plays than any team in the league. It's something we don't talk about really a lot, is inbounds, defending them, and offensively. But you can really make some hay with them.
You got that right. I'm a big inbound play guy. As a coach, I spend a lot of time working on them offensively and defending them. I hate to get scored on them, on inbounds plays, and I think they're a crucial piece of the game, especially from under out of bounds underneath your own basket, but sideline out of bounds. I mean, there's just a lot of fun things you can do, and you can get some easy baskets out of it. You look up at the end of the game, you win by one or two, and you can contribute that to the inbound plays. You got a couple easy baskets on sometimes.
Great job tonight, Tony. Fabulous answers. And we'll talk to you again next Monday night.
All right. Take care. Have a great week.
Thank you. That's Tony Broaddus, the head men's coach at Portland Community College. And now let's close out the program with Cliff Wagner, the head men's coach at Clackamas Community College and he is coaching now into his 41st year of basketball. Phenomenal, as they say every week, Cliff, but you know what? It really stands out to me that somebody's persevered that long in the game and at a high level, successful, and still has passion, which I know you do.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Thanks, Greg. Thanks for doing another show and appreciate those kind words. I was just on the phone with my good friend, Craig Rothenberger, a fabulous high school coach at Junction City High School, and he told me he just finished his 47th year. And I was talking to him, and you would have thought you were been talking to a rookie coach. He's so excited about next season. And so those are the kind of things that keep you going. And I know you asked the other coaches about improving the off season. And one of the things that I'm going to do is meet with Coach Rothenberger about a couple things professionally in coaching too.
Great. I love that story, Cliff. And maybe what's are you planning to go to some clinics or anything that's really focused in on your radar?
Well, Craig's going to invite me to speak to all the Junction City athletes about some of their core values, and we do the same thing. So I'm looking forward to talking to some high school athletes. That'll be upcoming in the spring. I'm looking forward to getting out and seeing some of the senior showcases. I'm also looking forward to going to the big clinic in Las Vegas at the end of the month. That'll be fabulous. Brian Stamm and I will go attend that. And Brian and I will spend some time in the off season developing some things, analyzing our program. We're also going to either tweak our offense or reinvent an offense. We've got some ideas. I'm really excited about that, too. So the off season is really full of exciting opportunities to improve and reflect and learn from other people and branch out and network with other professional coaches and bounce some ideas around.
You know, I love all you guys so much and enjoy doing this and all this. I probably need to at some point see if I can get Eric Spoelstra up here to give a clinic because, as you know, Cliff, he's fabulous.
Well, he is, and, you know, I've known Eric about as long as he's been around basketball since, you know, I think he was 12 or 14 years old when I first met him, and what a great basketball family, what a great basketball story he is, and to reach the pinnacle of the coaching profession, he'd attract a lot of people, I'm sure, and he's a great, great, great young man, too.
Yeah, very humble guy for people that don't know him, very, very humble. Cliff, how about talk a little bit about inbounds plays, defending them, and also scoring off them. And we don't talk much about it. I think I've never asked you guys about it, but I heard that about Coach Stotts, and it's a big part of the game.
Well, it really is, and not just inbounds plays, but every time there's a break in action, it's a chance to call a play, to change a defense. And that's where coaching really comes in a game. And your job as a coach is to help your team with a couple of situations that enable them to score easily. And some of your out-of-bounds plays can do that. So we have a goal. We want to score 8 points a game on out-of-bounds plays. And we'd like to hold the opponents to 2 points. And sometimes we shut them out. We do a really good job of scouting. Brian Stamm does a great job of that. We normally try and take the two or three key out-of-bounds plays on the baseline away and walk our players through how we're going to defend that and prepare them for that. We also have a number of things we can go to for certain situations. You have to be prepared for that. You have to have some out-of-bounds plays you run when you need a three-point look. You've got to have some out-of-bounds plays for certain shooters, and you've got to have some out-of-bounds plays for some post-up stuff. So, you know, that's just one of the really fun parts of coaching a basketball game. And I'm a big fan of Terry Stott. I think he does as fabulous a job as anybody in the coaching profession at any level with every time there's a dead ball, he's got something coming out of there. And just a fantastic job he does. I learn a lot watching him.
Yeah, and, you know, believe it or not, I think his contract's up. So I'm sure he'll come back to the Blazers. But There's a lot of people drooling. They'd love to have Terry Stotts in their organization.
Absolutely. With the job he's done this year, I think he's really turned everybody's head. He, you know, other than Steve Kerr, I mean, there's the NBA coach of the year. If you don't have Kerr and the Golden State Warriors doing what they're doing, Terry Stotts, the NBA coach of the year, I think.
You're right, and you got to include Luke Walton in there, too, who coached the team nearly half the year, did a fabulous job with Golden State.
Yes, he did. He's going to have no trouble securing a job in the offseason as well.
Cliff, I know you love golf, and we played golf together, and you don't get as much of a chance because you're busy schedule, but I love Gary's player's comment about, you know, he didn't win tournaments on the course. He won them on the practice range. And I know you love the off season as well as the in season to get these players ready to win games in the in season.
Well, this is a chance to, you know, focus on individuals and more so than what you're doing during the season where you're always focusing on the team concepts and the team game. But this is a time for kids to get stronger, bigger, quicker, work on their handles, work on their shooting, work on various skill sets and moves and really spend a lot of time at it. And if kids are willing to do that and get in the gym and work on things, they can really have a great spurt of growth, a great improvement in the off season, and then bring that to the team in the fall, and your team is that much better theoretically. So that's our focus right now is getting a lot of shots, spend a lot of time handling the ball and improving those fine skill sets.
Yeah, and it was interesting the other day, Cliff, to hear Bill Russell talk about he wasn't the greatest free throw shooter in the world, but he made himself better just by a real simple thing, practicing.
Well, practice, and, you know, you mentioned earlier visualization, and Tony told his anecdote about visualization in a negative sense, but visualization is a powerful, powerful thing. I was reading recently about a study where people went on a retreat for a couple of weeks, and they were only allowed to think and speak of things that occurred before the year 1959. And follow-up studies indicated that they felt younger. Other people commented they looked younger and they acted younger. So visualization, it affects us in ways that are incredible, and I think we're only, you know, still scratching the surface of what it can do to help us improve and focus.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting when you bring that up, but Jack Nicklaus, getting back to a golfer saying things, but I think everybody would agree, fabulous, fabulous athlete and golfer, was just saying the other day, everybody asked him what made him so good, and he said it was the fact I never wanted to back in winning a tournament by the other guys doing poorly. I wanted to win it outright, and that's a pretty powerful statement.
Yeah, that really is, and I'm sure we can all respect that attitude. Personally, I'm okay if the other team misses free throws and we win that way. So I guess I don't have a golfer's gentleman's etiquette about that, maybe.
Hey, very good. Hey, Cliff, we'll talk to you next Sunday night on the Portland Metro Small College Hoop Show. Have a great week, please.
Hey, two things real quick. See you at NoHo's Wednesday for a great lunch. And you always ask me about news at Clackamas, and I wanted to announce signing of Briggs Young, a star out of Oregon City High School. We're excited to get that young man. That's the first recruit we've signed for next year's team.
Very good to get those in, absolutely. And we will see you Wednesday at NoHo's. We hope to see everybody else at NoHo's, 46 and Northeast Fremont. 46 Northeast Fremont. Gates open at 11. Stay as long as you want. It's a powerful lunch and successful. Good night, Cliff Wagner. Good night, listeners. And don't forget to make your free throws.